drasha, and I have till 2 o'clock, and I was going to tie in different things to do with the parsha. And then Velvo warned me. He says they've heard so many drushas already. Don't give any drushas. So usually sons listen to their fathers, but in this instance, I think I should listen to my son. So just by way of introduction, you know, in case you don't know who I am, I'm the manal of the high school. Over here we have 240 Bochum Kanein Nahara. If you have any questions about the high school, you can ask me. My association with Norfolk is quite, let me explain to you why. Besides Velvel, Rabbi Weinreb was a Talmud of mine. Mr. Stone asked me, what grade do I teach? So I started teaching ninth grade back in 1972. I was a child prodigy. I was about 13 years old at the time. I was pretty young though, and I was teaching for many years, and then I became the system, and now I had Velvel in my class, and I think that after that year I stopped teaching. I was pure black, you know, but then I became the Manal. After Ritenda passed away, I became the Manal. And taking care of 240 boys is quite an arduous task. Taking care of 480 parents is even a more arduous task. Rabbi Harpaz was also a Talmud of mine back in the day. And of course, Rabbi Joe Schechter was from Norfolk. He was Rabbi in Norfolk. And I was very close with him when he was here in the yeshiva. I thought I'd just share, if you can share a little small, just a little understanding from the parsha that I thought would be. I said this last. I speak every Friday morning to the boys, and this Friday morning I spoke. And I wanted to just. I talked about something I thought was particularly appropriate, and this in the parsha Yisro. So Hashem Yisbarach says, if we'll makabel the Torah. God told us, if you accept the Torah, then I will make you very special. You become a Goy Kodesh, which means a holy nation, and a Melech Es Koinim, a nation of kings, of princes, of priests, a nation of priests. You know, and I was, we're very self-critical, and we always find fault with ourselves. And so often we do that, and every so often we read the paper that this person made this mistake, and that person did this thing wrong. And we see demonstrations that take place that we shocked at. And we see Jews don't always behave the way they should do. But I think we forget sometimes that that's the minority. And the vast majority demonstrates this specialness, this Goy Kodesh, this holy nation. And I was thinking of different comparisons. I told them like this. I said, 50 years ago, I was in Ireland. You've heard of, I think some of the names, maybe some Irish names in Norfolk. I know a lot of English names. Queen Anne this, and Prince William that. Yeah. Princess Anne, yeah. So I was in Ireland. It was a little village. In England, in those days, camp was very different than American camp. Camp in America is all sports camps. In England, it was a sports camp. You went 2 weeks, we took over a school, and we... We took over a school, and we... And we had trips, and we got involved. It was very special. So we were at camp in a little village called Bandon, B-A-N-D-O-N. It was in County Cork, not far from Killarney. I don't know if any of you heard of the Blarney Stone. Have you heard of the Blarney Stone? Yeah. It says, if you kiss the Blarney Stone, you get the gift of the gab. So you have to bend over backwards, and you kiss this stone. And I did it. And I had Velvel in mind. I was successful.
We just heard all the hashgacha.
Okay. So.
That explains the global warming.
So, anyway. So it was in this village. The village population, there was about 3,500 people. They were all Irish, Roman Catholics. They each, we, well, part of our trip was to interview different families. And they large families, 15, 16, 20 kids in a family. Roman Catholics don't, or those in those that didn't practice birth control, they had large families, and they all ended up going to New York and becoming policemen or street workers, you know, they you know, digging the roads. But they all sent their money back to their parents back in Ireland to support their families. What struck me, every street corner there was a pub. Every street corner. You know, because the Irish, they went to work, they finished the day's work, they went to the pub, they played darts, and they drank heavily. And that was their life. Every street corner was a pub.
It's still like that.
It's still like that, right? Yes, of course. Now, 2 weeks ago I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I was in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, I was in Kiryas Sefer, I was in Bet Shemesh, I was in the Harnof and Bayit. I was all over. And what struck me is every street corner there's a Beis Medrash. There's a shul, there's a minyan, there's a kailal, there's people learning wherever you go. It's phenomenal. So I thought, Mamleches Kahanim, a Goy Kodesh, we are a really holy nation. We are such a holy nation. Where do you see such a thing? Every year, I was on a bus going from Kiryas Sefer to Yerushalayim. And a lady gets on the bus, one of the stops, and you know, she had a carriage which she put underneath the bus, and she's struggling getting on the bus with her kids in tow, you know, this one pulling her this way, that one pulling that way. You can picture the scene in your mind. She makes her way to the end of the back of the bus. Now, you know, from Yerushalayim, when you get on the bus, you have to pay the driver, you give him the thing, that's how you do it. She obviously wasn't in no position to pay at that moment, so she went to the back of the bus, no problem. She then takes out the money from her purse, she gives it to the person in front of her, and says, you give it please, and little step by step, went until it finally reached the driver. So I was thinking, can you imagine in Baltimore, mass transit is it wouldn't get past the first person. So I was thinking, a Goy Kodesh, special nation. Kodesh is very, very special. And then I was thinking, you know, not just Eretz Yisrael, but in America, I was thinking, in America, every shul across the country, I'm sure it's like in your shul, you know, the president gets up and he speaks after the davening, and he wishes Shabbos, and he welcomes the guests, and he thanks the person who sponsored the Kiddush, and the person who's going to sponsor the Shalos Sudas. And then he says,
keep going.
and then he says, and there'll be a shia for the men, an hour before mincha, and there'll be a ladies' discussion group in the afternoon over here. But every shul, the president gets asked, and he announces the shiurim they're going to be. So I was thinking, what happens in a church? You know, after they've passed around the plate, and then the sexton will get up and he'll say, and Bishop so-and-so is going to give an in-depth lecture on the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. I don't think that happens. And the ladies are going to meet afterwards to hear a discussion in the book of Psalms. Those things don't happen. You know, when Jews get together, what do we do? You know, you talk, and then you say, I have a good thought to tell you. I have something to tell you, an interesting insight into the parasha. Right? Whenever you have a meeting, people get... So that doesn't happen by other nations. What are they going to say? You know, I have a very good understanding. I finally figured out why Yoshki didn't fall into the water when he was walking on top of it. So I think we're so special. You know, what happens? You know, we're a Goy Kodesh. We're a holy nation. We're so special, and we have to remind ourselves of that. So we're so different. The chesed, gemachs, you know, I don't know if in Norfolk you have a gemach fund. What's a gemach fund? You need money, so you go to somebody and they can lend you money. I remember when I was first a young man in the Kotel over here, and it was a little difficult in those days, so I needed to borrow money. So there was a Hebrew Loan Society in Baltimore, Hebrew Loan Society, okay. You have to come there and you have a committee of people, you know, like, you know, 12 people, and you have to sit in front of them, you have to explain your needs, and you have to get this guarantor and that guarantor, you know, in the formality of it. But, it, you know, amongst our community, people, it's you know, we lend money, we give money, it's a whole different understanding. We really are a holy nation, a Goy Kodesh, a Mamleches Kohanim, a nation of princes. And we conduct ourselves differently. We behave differently, we act differently, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us when God gave us the Ten Commandments, and He gave us, you know, on Har Sinai, on Mount Sinai, we we receive the Torah, that's what we undertook to become, and that's what we are, and that's why we're so special. And you know, so this is such a thing like this, a beautiful thing about it, that people take off their work. They may hug off today because it's President's Day, but is that right? Today's President's Day? Yeah. Which president did we...
Both. Yeah. Put both together.
Lincoln and Washington.
Oh, I thought it was Trump. And okay. Yeah, okay.
It includes the kings and the queens as well.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So I think it's you know, to people to get to come to sort of recharge their batteries and to get inspired and to hear and see inspiration. It's phenomenal. It's an unbelievable thing. We have to remind ourselves that. And sometimes when we see that we don't always behave the way we should do. When I say we, I don't mean us. I mean we as a nation. We have to remind ourselves. But look how many good things we do, and how much special things we do, and the kindnesses that people give to each other, and the learning, and this it's such a beautiful thing. That's the understanding, the thought that I wanted to share with you. And then I don't know if anybody, you know, just talk a little about, you know, I'm ready to answer questions about the yeshiva. You know, it started in, did anybody discuss that with anybody?
Yeah.
You heard the whole history of it?
Rabbi Neuberger.
This morning.
At breakfast.
Oh, he told you about the
breakfast. Yeah. Novel was had a seder.
Okay. So I can tell you about, about the high school. The high school, he probably didn't talk about the high school.
No.
So the high school started very interesting. There was, you know, in Baltimore, the Chofetz Chaim Talmudic Academy, which was one of the first schools in America. And they had their high school, and the yeshiva did not have a high school. But the yeshiva felt they needed to have a high school, and they made an agreement with TA, as it's called, that they would take, that anybody who went to TA couldn't switch, but if somebody wanted to start off, they could start off in Israel. And the high school started back in the 60s, and it was not easy in those days. It was very difficult, and they went through Menalim one after the other. Until Rabbi Tendler, who was really stabilized things, he was a Menal for Rabbi Danziger, and he set the pattern, created the high school. It was about 60, 70 boys, and then it grew and grew, until we've reached 240, and we have boys come from all over the country. We have boys from Columbus, Cincinnati, Chicago, Philadelphia, Memphis, Atlanta, Toronto, Australia. A boy from Sydney, two boys from Sydney, Australia. We have boys from Panama. We have from any, you name it. We have boys from Norfolk. What do we have from Norfolk?
No, not from Norfolk.
We have Chaim Sharashevsky. Oh, yeah, Chaim Sharashevsky, yes. And, forgot about Chaim, that's right. Sorry. And, do we have anybody else in recent?
Mitch Trestman was there a few years ago.
Hello. Right?
Mitch.
But not while he graduated from the
academy. How about the Lone Brown boys?
Yeah. So we have the Lombard, sure. They are typical Norfolk Virginia. They're very good. So Menachem was here, Shlomo. Now we have Moshe. I don't know if you know Moshe.
Right, this morning.
Yes, if you go in the basement, he does stand out in the crowd. You'll see that. He's a very, very good boy. So that's from Norfolk, and we have. The school has grown, and Baruch Hashem, we have we have many applicants. This year I have over 150, 120 applicants for, which I know probably can take about 60, maybe between 60 and 65 boys. You know, we're growing, the community is growing, and we try to do something that many schools are not capable of doing. We try to give both a education in Kodesh, in Talmud, in Jewish learning, that they should be, when they finish the school, they should understand and know and be able to open up a Gemara, a tractate, and prepare themselves. We have a very good secular program where we aim to, that they should be able to graduate the high school and be able to get in. And many of the boys, we have boys who've gone from our high school to top medical schools. I had a boy who got a scholarship to MIT. It's a very interesting boy. He's a very smart boy. He was from Massachusetts.
MS!
Oh, yeah. He was from... Which city was he from? Begins with a W.
Well, from Warwick?
Worcester.
Worcester.
So he was... See, he was a brilliant boy, and...
Did you write a recommendation letter?
No, I want to tell you what happened. I didn't have to write a recommendation letter. And, in fact, he hacked into a whole computer system, but that's besides one thing. And then he got a job for Hewlett Packard, very smart, and he married this young lady. They went to live in Eretz Israel, and he worked for Hewlett Packard from Eretz Israel, and his wife was sitting and learning in the kollel. So there was a special kollel for ladies, and she joined that kollel. We've had boys who've gone to Harvard. We have boys who've gone to Columbia University. We have boys who've gone to medical schools, and we have graduates from all over the country that got enough of a background in our high school to be able to make that transition.
How many high school boys high schools are there in Baltimore?
Four, well, five. Right, there's Talmud Academy.
Right.
There's Ne Yisrael.
T.I.
No, T.I. is elementary.
Oh.
There's Rabbi Schlanger. It's called Masivta Baltimore. They have a school. And there's a new one opening up from Rabbi Feldheim from Denver. They're opening up a new school. And it's inevitable.
They opened it this year or they're opening it next year?
Next year. Because the population is just growing. There are five classes in the 7th grade in T.A. this year. So, population is booming, and you need schools to accommodate them.
Do all the schools have a connection?
Do all the schools have a connection? We have a principals association where we meet periodically. Usually it's about financial matters, but because the Association of Jewish Charities in Baltimore, allocate certain funds towards these schools. So we just had, for example, this last 2 weeks ago, we had a Shabbos. It was called a Shabbos of Chizuk, a Shabbos of inspiration for the teachers, really for the teachers, for the ladies and men, all teachers in the Baltimore schools. It was a very big success. We bring in speakers, and because teachers need to be rejuvenated also. We need also to be inspired, and it was a great success that they did this.
Rabbi Cook, the new school that's going to open up here. How are they modeling themselves? What are they? Is it more like Ne Yisrael? Is it more like small TA?
Think that they're modeling themselves mostly on Ne Yisrael, but they have a different curriculum, a different what they plan to do. They in the beginning they want to cater. It's very hard to start a new school because you've got some people have to be pioneers. Usually the ones who are the pioneers are the ones who may not be successful in getting into their first choice, and then they'll choose to go there. So maybe he eventually would like it to be competitive with all the schools on a higher level. I think he's going to start off on a slightly lower level, but just in order to attract the boys. But he wants to have, he's modeling on us to the extent that he wants to have a good, Lumudi Kodesh program and a good general studies program.
Who's going to be the Rosh Yeshiva?
I think Rabbi Feldheim, he has a son. Rabbi Feldheim is the Manal in Denver, and he's going to move here. So maybe he's, I'm not official what the titles are, but he's going to be one of the teachers there. Well, yeah.
My great grandparents were kicked out of Russia.
I thought you were going to say kicked out of Nashville.
And we're immigrated to Ireland.
Oh, really?
My grandparents were born in Ireland.
What was their name?
Rosen and Sam Rosen and Lillian Rosen. And they immigrated to States and then eventually migrated or moved up to Winthrop, Massachusetts.
Oh, really? There was famous people. First of all, the chief rabbi Jacobowitz was chief rabbi in Ireland. Rabbi Herzog was chief rabbi in Ireland before he became chief rabbi of Israel. And what's his name was in Ireland? The Lord Mayor, I forgot his name now, the Lord Mayor of Dublin was
right.
Jewish, from Jew.
Right. Sammy something or other.
But the end of the B, I've forgotten the name. He was the... Right. That was
right.
So a lot of people, I think in the time of the war, that they...
Right.
Unfortunately, Ireland harbored a lot of Nazi war criminals after the war. That was unfortunate.
How large a population in Ireland?
I don't know. Oh, it's diminished. It's dwindled.
Yeah.
It's dwindled, yes. It used to be much more.
Yeah.
When we went on this camp, there was in Cork. We were right near Cork. That's a. There was a big Jewish community.
Yeah.
But the children grew up and they didn't stay in Ireland. They went further afield.
Sorry,
say again.
Stay in Ireland.
The
children didn't stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the children went further afield. Yeah. Any other questions?
First of all, what attracts Bochum to come from all of the other cities, and why they come to know yourself?
I think it's the Menachem.
Thank you. The reason why they come, I'll tell you why they come.